Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. It filled in a little bit more, I see. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Welcome to Family Church. We're so excited for everything that God's doing here. We're excited you came. I hope you came expecting today. Amen. That's the only way to come to church is expecting. Amen. I never go to a service thinking, oh, I'm just not going to get anything today. I'll just show up just because it's my religious duty. No, we come expecting that God will move on us, amen. We come expecting that God's going to change something in us, that God's going to help us, amen. We should not stay the same, amen. God doesn't want us to stay the same. He loves us the way we are, but he doesn't want us to stay there, amen. He wants us to grow and to increase in the things of God, amen. And I'm just so thankful for God that I've been taught along these lines, because it's enabled me to teach you along these lines. And I just look at y'all. I know that, when my wife and I started coming to the church, I don't think any of you that are sitting here today were in the church. Amen. But I'm just so thankful that you are today, because God is doing a truly amazing and wonderful thing through us. Amen. And I don't mean through us, because we're just so awesome, but I mean through the family churches. I mean through us as a congregation. Amen. I mean, look around. This is a far cry from where we started, amen. This is a long ways. Actually, it's a real blessing, amen. And we're doing other things. We're starting other works. It's glory to God, and we're just spreading. We're gonna be like a virus, amen. A good virus. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm excited that you're here today. God's got good things for us. Just to give a little bit of a background here. Last Sunday, I started by preaching a message on peace, and I wasn't here Tuesday. Obviously, I had some. It was in my spirit to go sit under Pastor Michael, and so I went to his Tuesday night service. Made sure that I needed to do that, and when I got there, I understood why. Praise the Lord. But then Pastor Tim asked me to preach on Wednesday in Jamestown, and I did. And I preached on peace there. It was a little bit different of a message. And then yesterday, I was seeking the Lord, and he had me preach on peace again. So I preached on peace in Corey. And you understand, I'm not preaching the same message each time. Praise God. What the Bible has to say about peace. But as I was seeking the Lord, it just seemed right and good to stick with peace today. And so we're preaching another aspect of peace today. Amen. Today's message is called Ruled by Peace. Praise the Lord. Ruled by Peace. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was preparing this, this came to me that the good student passes the test. Amen. It's not the poor students that pass the test. It's a good student that passes the test. Amen. We need to listen to what God has been saying. One of the things that I learned early on, it helped me so dramatically in my life change, oh, praise the Lord, was the understanding that what my pastor was preaching was either for me at that moment or it was going to be for me soon. And so it was important for me to get that, to learn it, and to hold on to it, amen? And, as I just said, the good student passes the test. If you want to pass the test of life, God is telling you every single week, how are you going to do it? Amen. Now, these messages, because these messages are all kind of connected, I'll tell you, especially like in each one of Revelation that I've wanted to preach again, but there's just more to preach. I would highly suggest going back if you didn't hear any of the other ones. Get on Family Church Jamestown's website. They have it's on our Facebook page, praise the Lord, that'll lead you there, that you can go listen to it, or you can get on our Corey Facebook page and look at the one from last night. It's important that you get all of this, because God is speaking things to the body through his ministers, because he's got things for us to get, amen. We learned last night how if we're not in peace, we can't hear from God, and if we can't hear from God, we can't get the answers we need. That's maybe one of the greatest revelations that I've gotten, praise the Lord. And the Lord showed me some things in scriptures that I had never seen before and connected them, and I was so excited for it. But I'm telling you, we seek God for answers. People pray to God, but the thing is they don't get their answers not because God isn't speaking them, but because they're just not hearing them. And a lot of reason people aren't hearing them is because distracted by things in life, by the trial, by whatever. They're distracted. They can't hear from God. And so you need to understand that those things are important. And again, while God didn't have me, I don't know why he didn't have me preach it again, there is another message, amen? And so I suggest that, and maybe some of that will come out today. Some of the scriptures, I have used some of the scriptures over again, but that's okay. It doesn't hurt to get into them again and again and again. Faith doesn't come by heard. Amen. It comes by hearing. Amen. And so we want to make sure that that gets in us. You know, I love, I'm always blessed when, I didn't even start it. My wife didn't start it. But when she reads John 8:31-32, you know, when people just started reading it along with, it blessed me because it was like, you know, this is how we get it in us. Amen. We need to know those things. That's why we put those scriptures out there. Amen. But today we're going to be good students. Amen. We're going to listen to the word. We're going to get what God has for us. We're going to start in Isaiah 26:3. I think I started there last week. Praise the Lord. So we're getting Isaiah 26:3. We're talking about peace. Amen. Ruled by peace. We need to be people who are ruled by peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 26:3. This is a scripture, you know, I shared with you before that my daughter and I have been learning. We've been getting it in us. We want to make sure that we have it in us because this scripture answers so much. I mean, so many people, you know, so many times, and I want to hit on this point. So many times we go to God repeatedly in prayer. I'm not saying don't go to God in prayer. But what we do is we go to God in prayer and we expect that it's got to be kind of a divine special thing or some kind of big sign that's our answer or that everything just turns around. And, you know, as we learned last night, that God speaks in a still small voice. And so if we're so distracted that we can't hear him, if we're so caught up in the, you know, sometimes people get caught up in the prayer. That they just keep praying the same thing over and over and over again. And they're more or less just pleading with God, but they're not actually ever getting anywhere. See, God has given us prayer as an ability to communicate with him. So we have our answers. God is going to give you the answer. And as I said yesterday, and again, I'll bring this out again today, 9 times out of 10, your answer is not going to come through some outward sign. It's going to come through the Word of God. Yesterday, I was seeking the Lord for an answer on something, and he led me to the Word. Earlier this week, I was seeking the Lord on something for an answer to a problem I was dealing with, and he led me to an account in Scripture. And what do we mean by, you know, it didn't specifically say, oh, Jeff Mitchell was dealing with this problem, and so da, 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 da. No, what it does is the principle that is laid out in Scripture is the same one God used to answer the very issue I was going through. And when he connected it for me, I was like, Eureka! I was like, it's true, it does work. It is a living word, it still applies. You know, I had somebody say that once to me today. They rebuked me I was doing a wedding. They rebuked me for using a scripture about how a man is head of the household and stuff like that. And, you know, and if you know how we teach the word, you know that that's not putting a woman down. But this person doesn't. And they were rebuking me for using that. And I said, well, that's what the word says. And they said, well, that the word is old. I'm like, but it still applies. And that's why you have so many troubles in your life. Because you don't look at the word as something that applies to you. Amen. We need to know it does. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen. God is going to keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on him. Notice the staying of our mind is up to us. It's not up to God. His job is to deliver the peace, which he has, but keeping us there, keeping our mind stayed on him is what keeps us in peace. People are all the time, they get, you know, the lack of peace is why people get into so much stuff. If you're in a lack of peace, if you can't figure something out, if there, whatever, it's because you haven't had your mind in the right place. If you have your mind on the problem, you will not get your answer because your answer is not in the problem. Your answer is not in the problem. Your answer is in the Lord. It's always in the Lord. It's always been in the Lord. And he's trying to tell us. But again, we can't hear him if we're all caught up in our stuff. If we're all caught up in the trial. This is why we talk about things like praise. You say, I don't feel like praising. Exactly. That's why you need to do it. Because it's when you praise that it gets your mind off of you and puts it on him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then he brings the peace. This is how peace comes. This is, and we're going to see this today. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. I'm not going to say too much on here because we've been here. But because trust in you. You have to believe the word. If you don't believe the word, you won't stay in peace. Amen? Every person who has ever been depressed in their life, I am a person who has suffered from great and heavy depression, debilitating depression. But every person who has ever suffered from depression, it all comes down to this scripture right here. Right here. This is the reason that you suffer from depression. Because you're not in perfect peace because your mind isn't stayed on him and you haven't trusted him fully yet. But when you start learning to trust him fully, when you start keeping your mind on him, then you'll start seeing that depression can't stay. Amen? Glory to God. God has offered us help through the word. We need to see it. And there's another scripture that we focus a lot on. It's on 2 Peter 1:2. So why don't you flip over there real quick. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I think we touched on this one too. If not, I've touched on it this week. I know that. Amen. 2 Peter 1:2. Glory to God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace is God's ability. Okay? Working in us. Peace is our ability. Praise the Lord. I say grace is God's ability. Peace is our ability. Now, we don't, we haven't done anything to get our ability, or we don't make it happen. That's not what I'm saying. But we do the things that we're told to do to put us in the place. Peace is how we're going to accomplish everything that God has for us to accomplish. See, Jesus never walked with a care in his life. He never walked around worried about what he was going to do or how he was going to get where he was going or how he was going to pay the taxes or how he was going to defeat the devil or how he was going to overcome obstacles. He never worried. Why? Because he stayed in peace. Christians, you need to stay in peace. If you're not in peace, you need to open your ears, especially to these, because the opposite of peace, the antagonist of peace, is from the devil. That is what's trying to keep you. That's how he keeps us in that place of bondage. You remember we read John 8:31 and 32 every week. The truth will set us free, right? How does the truth set us free? Because it puts us, look at, grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge. Amen. That's why when you stay in the word, you stay in the knowledge of God. And so you stay in that place. You're able to stay in that place of peace because you have the answer. The answer's always the word. I said it's always the word. The answer to everything we ever face is always found in Scripture. Amen. I'm so glad someone taught me this. Because this is the difference between depressed Jeff who couldn't get out of bed every morning or function in life, and conquering Jeff who's taking on the world by storm. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not lifting me up. I'm lifting God up, his word up. It's his word. It's his spirit that works with us. And the spirit, of course, we've learned this before, but the spirit reminds us of God's word. Why do you think God's spirit, which is the spirit of peace, remember Jesus, if you listen to last night's message, you'll see that scripture. Jesus said that he's going to leave us with the spirit of peace. The spirit of peace reminds us of the word. Why do you think he does that? Because that's where grace and peace are multiplied. Grace is God's ability. Grace is why we can do what we couldn't do before. Amen? We couldn't do anything because we couldn't follow the law. So what did we need? We needed God's grace. We got God's grace through the blood of Jesus Christ that came and helped us be able to walk out the plan of God. And God put his spirit on the inside of us. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. He gave us the grace, the ability to do it. Amen. See, a lot of people, they talk about grace, but they have no idea what grace means. You do a little research in Scripture and find out what grace actually is. Grace is God's ability working in us. Hallelujah. It's what enables us to do what we could never do. Amen? It's what makes us who we could never be. It's what strengthens us when there's no reason for us to be strengthened. It's what builds us up when everything's trying to rip us down. It's God's grace. Amen? But the knowledge of that is what will deliver the peace to us. It will put peace in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. As we walk and we stay in knowledge, we need to stay in the knowledge and the peace of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Grace is God's ability. Peace is our ability. Amen. And it comes to us through God's grace. Hallelujah. No man has done anything to earn these things. We're not saying that. But there is a way that we walk. Amen. That puts us into the place of receiving what God has for us. Now listen, you're not going to do it perfectly every single time. But what we need to do is we need to learn how to do this. We need to, as I said on Wednesday night, we need to practice peace. We need to learn how to practice peace. This is something we need to do. We need to we need to take ourselves and take time to the Bible says to study study to be quiet, right? Praise the Lord. It says, study to be quiet. Amen. We need to take time to learn what peace is like. And we only learn what peace is like by fellowshipping with peace. Amen. By doing those things which cause peace. Amen. Sometimes you need to just turn away from something. Sometimes you need to set something down. Sometimes you just need to forget about something. Amen. Sometimes you just gotta just push it down and practice on being in peace. We need to learn how to do this. People who have schedules that are so busy, I'm just going to tell you right now, people have schedules that are so busy that they can hardly sit down, they will not know peace. They can't know peace. You can't know peace if you're just going. You have to stop. Sometimes, you don't have to do everything in life, folks. We have to learn this. We have to teach our kids, you can't do everything in life. You just can't. It's an impossibility. And sometimes you got to cut things out. Amen. There's tons of things that we've had to cut out of our lives over the years. Now, I'm not saying we can't have fun. Of course, we have fun and enjoy life. We need to do that. We want to do that. But we have to keep ourselves in a place of peace. If we don't keep ourselves in peace, I'm not trying to come down on you. I'm just trying to help you. If we don't keep ourselves in peace, if we don't practice peace, we will not hear from God. Right. We can't, because God, one of his names is Jehovah Shalom, which is the God of peace. He's put the Spirit, his Spirit, which is the Spirit of peace. Jesus called him the Spirit of peace on the inside of us to guide us. How else do you think you're going to be guided? You have a situation before you. How do I get out of it? You're in a lack of peace. The way you get out of it is through peace, but you can't get in peace unless you put yourself in peace. You can't keep yourself in peace if you keep putting all these things on your plate to take you out of peace. This is why people get so wrapped up. This is why we live in maybe the most dangerous society that we ever have. Because everything is trying to draw us away. Listen, I'm not calling people bad. I'm not saying that people are horrible, that are busy, or anything like that. But I'm saying you can't hear from God. Because what happens is you're so wrapped up in everything that you can't hear that still small voice. And again, we saw that last night when we read about the prophet Elijah, amen? That he was so consumed with his fear and so consumed with what was going on around him that he couldn't move in the direction God had him to do. And the whole time, God was right there. You know, the Bible tells us, oh, praise God, hallelujah. One of God's names is Jehovah Shammah, which means the God who is ever present. I just love that. When I first read that, it just excited me and it stirred me so much. Because to think that God is always there, that means my answer is always present. It's ever present. Your answer is always there. It's always there, no matter what. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Amen. That was pretty good, I thought. Ever present. I didn't call him that. He called himself that. God is ever present. That means it's always the answer is always there. People are like, where was God? God was always there. Wait, you remember back when 9/11, I know that's even outdated now. A lot of people don't think about it. The kids don't barely know about it and stuff. But you remember back then? God was present. He was there. Why did these things still happen? Because people weren't listening. Praise the Lord. And see, if everybody learned these principles and learned how to hear from God correctly, we would avoid so much disaster in life. How do we know? Because Jesus did, and he taught us how to live. Do you know there was one time they sought to kill Jesus, but it wasn't time yet. And so the Bible says he walked right through the midst of them. They couldn't even see him because he followed the direction of God. See, if we follow the direction of God, there's always answer. You have no trial that God, the Bible promises us. He said there's no trial that can overtake you. But with every trial, God has given us a way out. He has made sure that there's a way out. So every trial the devil brings against you, God has given us a way out. Praise the Lord. If you don't know that, if you don't believe that, it's just because you haven't sought God enough. But there is a way out. Amen. And the way will always lead to our benefit. That's why we preach Jeremiah 29:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. But let's see this here. I want to have you flip over to Matthew 6:24. Amen. We're learning about peace today. Peace is the goal. Peace is the number one thing. You know, I've always been a person who sought peace. And I'm not talking about hippie peace. You know what I mean? Hippies don't have peace. That's a false sense of peace. Yeah. It's a false sense of peace. You know, anything, you know, I remember back in the day when I was, when I'd like to use drugs and stuff like that, I mean, you'd think that it'd mellow you out or something like that. It didn't mellow you out. Well, it did for a minute, but then what happened is you get paranoid and then you have to smoke some more. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. It was meant to rob from you. It's from the devil to rob from you. Amen. Yeah, God created it. God created a lot of things, too. I mean, everything on earth that's created is created. Amen. You know, there's poison on earth, too. You know, there's mushrooms that if you eat them, they'll kill you, like, pretty much instantly. There's snakes that if they bite you, you'll die. You know what I mean? You know, I don't see you smoking that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're just telling the truth here. Amen. Because just because God created it doesn't mean that it's something. Because there's purpose to things. Amen. There is purpose to things, but the purpose isn't always what we use it for. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hemp makes great rope, but not good cigarettes. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Matthew 6:24. Do we find it? Just helping you here. Get to the other side. They say, yeah, that the devil will, if you haven't learned yet, the devil will try to, he will try to infiltrate everything that God made as good. And so you take one of the greatest things, you take the peace of God. And the devil, look what he did in the 60s. You know, they put peace out there, you know, peace everywhere, peace and love. Yeah, and what did they do? They used that as an opportunity to start sinning, to live as absolute, like, whoremongers and to live disgusting lifestyles. That's exactly what it's for. That isn't from God. How is that from God? That's not true peace and love. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, we know that word, or we understand that the word mammon is talking about money. It was actually a god that people worshipped, but that's, in context, that's what Jesus is talking about. But that's not why I brought it up. I can use this in this context because the principle is still the same. No one can serve two masters. That doesn't just apply to money. You can't serve two masters. Amen. How many could be an effective, if you're a man, how many wives could you be an effective husband for? One. Amen. But not two. Right? Praise the Lord. Women, how many husbands could you be an effective wife for? One. But not two, not three, not four, amen. No one can serve two masters, praise the Lord. You can't serve you couldn't serve one pastor and then serve another pastor and still be doing well. You couldn't serve one. What about in a war? What if you serve two different sides? You know it wouldn't work, would it? Praise the Lord. You can't, listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm preaching your help today, and you can like it or you cannot like it, but it will help you if you'll listen. It'll help you if you actually put it to practice. But if you sit there and you just get mad about it, if you don't like it, you're never going to get the help you need. We need to learn that we don't have it all right. Everything that we do isn't correct. Everything that you come up with in your mind isn't the right way. There's a reason that things don't work out, and it isn't because God taught you it. It's because you figured something out, and it was wrong. Amen? God wants to help us. Praise the Lord. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one. This is why there's people, they'll come to church, and they'll look like they're doing real good for a time, but then they end up, where are they? They disappear. What happens? They've been serving two masters. You can't be a fence sitter forever. You can't serve two totally different things. Because if you serve one, you'll be loyal to that one. If you serve the other one, you'll be loyal to that one. And you despise the other one by being loyal to the first one. Amen. God has he's laid it out. He's told us exactly the way it is. You can't serve two masters. You can't go out there and live in the world and come in the church and be a good Christian too. You can't do it. I mean, live in the world as the world lives, you know, just doing the things of the world. Oh, we're just going to do this our way. Well, I'll be a Christian on Sunday or Tuesday, but then the rest of the week, I'm just going to live the way. You can't do it. Don't work. It doesn't work. You can't serve two masters. The Bible's clear about that. And this isn't the only scripture, but I'm just, the point that I'm trying to make is you can't be in chaos and have peace. You can't do it. You can't purposely put your life in chaos. So I didn't purposely put, yes, you did, because you choose. We all choose. We all choose what we do. We all do. Listen, you can't choose what everybody else does against you, but you do choose what you do and how you react. We all choose that. We can't choose what everybody else does, but we can choose what we do. You do have choices. You have options. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We all have options. You cannot keep your life in chaos. Praise the Lord. And then also be in the peace of God. It will not happen, cannot happen. It is an absolute impossibility. You can't go any further until you get there. If you want what God has for you, know what's found in the peace of God is all the answers to everything you need. All the answers to every trial you face. You know why people come? You know why I've gone? Same thing. It doesn't transcend pastors. The reason I have to go sometimes, the reason I have to get advice from my spiritual leadership is sometimes because I'm missing it in an area and I need to go get the correction to find out where I need to do it right. You know, we all need correction. And if we don't like correction, you're just being a baby. I'm just telling you the truth. If you can't handle correction, you're being the utmost immature, spoiled brat. Well, I don't like getting corrected. Well, so you want to keep doing the things you were doing that were causing death in your life? Okay. See, some people don't like correction. They don't like it when I say things that are corrected. They don't like it when, and it's not just me. I mean, you know, like anybody. Listen, we got to get over ourselves. Because it's number one, life isn't all about you if you haven't figured it out. I don't care what the liberal media will tell you. Life isn't all about just what you want, praise the Lord. It's not all about just you and your family, glory to God. There's more to life than those things, amen? Glory to God. And I'll say something else, I don't know why I'm going to say it here, but I'm going to say it. It does not take a village to raise a child. It takes a good parent to raise a child, amen? I don't know why that came out, but it just seemed right to fit it in there. It came up sometime this week, and it just seemed like right to share it. You don't need a whole bunch of people. I don't want this stinking village raising my children. Glory to God. You know what I mean? Most villages can't even pave the roads correctly. We don't need them raising our kids. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's nothing against them, nothing against the village of Mayville. I love the village of Mayville. I love being here. I love the people here. I love the people in charge. I just don't want them raising my kids. I need to raise my kids, amen? According to the word of God, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see that we can't serve two masters. Why do I bring this up? You can't serve peace and chaos together. They can't happen. If you have chaos, you know what chaos is like. Listen, I ain't got to preach about what chaos is like. You know what it's like. If you got chaos in your life, even a little chaos, you know what chaos is? It starts with this. Sometimes I'll be going along, you know, going along, everything's fine. All of a sudden, you're just like a little bit like, you know, something about this situation, it's just not right. It's chaos. That's the beginning stages of chaos right there. Something about it just doesn't sit right. It doesn't feel right, whatever. You know what it is. Somebody comes around. Maybe it's a friend of your kids comes around. You're like, you know what? Something about this situation just ain't right. You got to heed those things. Yeah. Amen? We got to answer those things. We have to learn to through the word. But we need to practice peace. We can't practice peace if we're chaotic. If we're running. You don't know what peace is. You won't know what peace is. You just won't. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't preach against, you know, when I preach against sports and stuff like that, I'm not preaching against sports. I'm not against sports in the sense that I don't think anybody should ever play them. But listen, if it's taken 7 days a week, guess what? You're in chaos. I'm just telling you the truth. You're in chaos, and you're teaching your kids to live in chaos. You're not teaching them how to live right. And what's happening is they get into the place where they're going to be in trials that they can't figure out how to get out of. We need to have times where we sit back. I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about we need times where we sit down as a family and just hang out. Yeah. Where we just talk, where we just spend some time together and say, hey, what's going on? There's always time to step away. You know how you do it? You do this. You put down whatever it is. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking to me too. Listen, you don't think that church can keep you busy? You don't think two churches can keep you busy? Hallelujah. Well, they certainly can and everything that's going on. But sometimes I need to put it down. You know, that's why I don't run to my phone all the time when there's an issue. I've learned that from my pastor. My pastor doesn't just run to the phone when somebody, because the thing is God always answers through peace. God's answer is in peace. There is an answer for your situation. I don't care what comes up, what the devil brings up. Listen, God ain't going to let you just go out. Amen. You don't have to decide right that second. And if you do, he'll make sure that you have the knowledge to be able to do it. Amen. It's a lie from the devil that you got to do it right now. Oh, I got to do it right now. I got to take care of it right now. Pastor, we got to do this right now. No, that's not peace. Peace. We need to be led by peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark 4. Mark 4, 37. The answer's in the word. We have to know that. It's always in the word. it's been amazing to me this week. Like I said, there's been several things. You know, at any given time, as a pastor, there's lots of things. Because you don't just deal with your own stuff. You know, you deal with other people's things. You deal with things that come up and legitimate things in life. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind helping people. I want to help people. That's my job. I want, my goal in life is to help people out. That's why I do what I do, because I want to see people helped. Praise the Lord. And if it means taking time with people at different times to do that, then that's all part of it. We don't mind doing it. That's part of it. But I'm just saying that there's lots of situations that can come up when you're dealing with a group of people, a large group of people, because the devil doesn't just like, he's not going to attack just one person over here, let them get through it, and then, okay, now I'll attack somebody else. No, you know what the devil likes to do? He's orchestrating things behind the scenes right now. I'm telling you. Jeremiah 29:11, God's got plans for you. Guess who else got plans for you? The devil does. And he's orchestrating things. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm not speaking against faith, but I'm telling you the truth. The devil right now is currently, he's got demons. He's got demons probably sitting here in this church that are trying to figure out a way. They're watching you, trying to figure out a way that they can orchestrate something to get you, and you. I'm not just pointing to anybody, but he's pointing, you know, to get all of us into some kind of trial, to get us all together at the same kind of trial, because if he can take 10 people out, praise the Lord, then maybe he can get to the pastor too. If he can get, that's why he's doing it. He's always trying to orchestrate things, amen? So the devil's got plans for you too. You might as well learn how to defeat his plans, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Mark 4:37. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know, we know this is when Jesus was in with the disciples in the boats, and they were going, and it was a great windstorm, amen? And it says there in verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So the boat is sinking. Yes. Everybody say, the boat is sinking. Hallelujah. You know what that means? It means the boat is going down. It means there's big waves, and the boat is going down, and even if you can swim, there's big waves that are taking the boat down. They probably take you down too. We're about to die. That's what it means. Amen? That's a pretty severe situation, right? Yep. Have you ever been in a boat that was sinking? No. With big waves? Well, you probably have in life, though. You've probably been at times where it felt like your boat was going down and there ain't nothing you can do. You can't bail it fast enough. And what do? You start getting on instantly. You start praying. Lord, help me, help me, help me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is an actual event that happened, but it's also good for understanding. There's principle behind it. But he was in the stern, Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I don't necessarily think they were being over dramatic in saying that they were perishing. Listen, I've been out on Lake Erie, across Lake Erie, praise the Lord, in a boat. And with just little waves, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, just a little bit. But you know, when you go out there sometimes in like November and you get like a November gale or something like that, and those waves are kicking. I got a picture in my living room of the waves when they're 10, 15 feet tall. Listen, you wouldn't want to be out in a boat like that, or in waves like that. That's the kind of waves that make a boat sink. You know, because I was with my pastor once, and we were on a boat out there, and he said, you know, a boat can take a lot more than the people can. Yeah. Amen? And so if the boat's sinking, I know I couldn't take that, but if the boat's sinking, amen, a boat can take an awful lot, you understand? They're not designed to sink, they're designed to float. Yeah. Amen? And so, they can take an awful lot, but when they're sinking, that means there's something rough going on, big time going on, amen? Yeah. And so the same thing with our lives. We'll be going through our lives, and listen, there's trial that'll come at you all the time, and it'll look like your boat's sinking. You will say to yourself, and I'm speaking to somebody in here, maybe a bunch of people in here, but you will say to yourself, "Pastor, I thought you were just preaching about the goodness of God, and you were preaching about how God would take care of us, and how God would do this, and how God would do this, and all just the opposite has happened." Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly why I preached it. That's exactly why we said this. Because that's exactly what they were doing. They were like, "God, it's sinking. It's going. It's all done. I don't know. You said go to the other side, but we aren't going to the other side. We're going down. We're sinking fast." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" You ever gone to God like that? "Lord, don't you care about me? You don't love me, Lord, because I'm going through this?" He gave you the answer. Furthermore, he's always present. God is always present. He's always there to give you your answer. He's always there to help you out. But see, when you're yelling, you can't hear somebody else. When you're yelling, You know, if a baby starts crying, I start preaching louder. It's so you hear me, not the baby. You know what I'm saying? There's no babies right now. I don't think in here they're doing that or at that stage. But you know what I'm saying? Like if you're yelling, you can't hear. If you're running, you can't. If you know, there's things going on. When you're in chaos, you don't recognize what's going on around you. You know, it's absolutely 100% proven in life that if there is a situation that people, I was thinking about this. You mind if I use a situation? So when I was growing up, we used to have these fire drills and we used to have these things and everything was very methodic. But you know something? If there was ever a problem in school, we were so trained to do it that we just did it. As soon as that fire alarm went off, as soon as something happened, whether it was real or not, and there was at least one time where it was real when I was in school, we just did the same thing we always did. Why? Because we were trained to do the same thing over and over again. And we always reacted right. Kids do it much better than a lot of adults do. Kids are trained to just go through it. But you know, nowadays, people don't really know what's going on. And so what happens is the worst things that happen in chaotic events is when people don't know what to do. Because they just start running every which way. There was mobs where people have been, it was like a nightclub fire. I remember just a few years ago where people, it might have been quite a few years ago now, but it was a nightclub fire in like New York City. And people just, they rushed the doors to get out and trampled people, killed them. Because they didn't know what to do instead of moving out in an orderly fashion and take care of things. You know, the Titanic went down. There was more than enough boats. The boats weren't even full. The ones that were there weren't even full. People died because they were panicking and they didn't have any protocol. You understand? See, Christians are the same way. We're living life just like the world lives. We're going through life just like the world does. The only difference is we're given promises that we don't walk in because we aren't doing the things that God has told us to do. Because see, God told us to stay in peace, not to get in chaos, but we keep getting ourselves in chaos and then wondering why we don't have peace when the situation arises. It's because we can't go there. We don't know. We're like those untrained people. We're running every which way but loose. Hallelujah. We don't know what we're doing. So we need to learn. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look how Jesus, I love this. I love how Jesus responds. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what did he say to the sea? He said, stop. He didn't say stop. He said peace. Peace, be still. I'm telling you, Christian, that's what he's saying to you right now. You got something going on in your life that's trying to get you all bent out of shape and to get you up in arms and to get you floating back and forth, tossed like a... You know, the Bible says that a man who doesn't believe is an ass that isn't and doesn't believe is like a wave tossed by the sea to and fro. He's unstable in all his ways. A man or woman who doesn't believe that when they pray, they're going to get the answers. In other words, a man or woman who doesn't truly know God, they are unstable in all their ways, the Bible says. They're like the waves tossed to and fro. That's in the beginning of James, by the way. James 1, I believe. But, that's what we're like. What does Jesus say to the waves? He says, peace, be still. He didn't get up. He didn't do some kind of dance. He wasn't getting all crazy or anything like that. He didn't start preaching. He just said, peace, be still. He arose and said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. He spoke to it. That's what we need to do in our lives. Peace, be still. When it's chaos, peace, be still. You know what I've learned is that sometimes, I've said this about messages. The Lord brings me messages very interesting ways. And it isn't the way that most people get messages. You know, the messages I get from the Lord are very inspired. I get the scriptures and usually the filler, all the things I talk about that aren't scripture and service, they come out during service. When I'm standing here looking at you, I ain't reading anything, amen, if you hadn't noticed. And that's just the way that the Lord uses me. But you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I knew with the vein that I was preaching, but I woke up this morning having no idea what I was preaching. You realize that? Not because I haven't been studying. I've been doing my part to stay in the Word and study Scripture and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that I come to the pulpit or come to church or even wake up that morning knowing what I'm going to preach. I had no idea what my message was going to be today. I was falling back on, if I don't get anything, I'm just going to preach the message I preached last night. But the Lord gave me a message. Amen. The reason I bring that up to you is because sometimes in a person like me, whose mind is an overactive mind, when you know that you're going to be at a service in a few hours and you don't know what you're going to preach, your mind wants to go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But what I've learned is that I just relax, that I get to a place of peace. I practice peace. How do I practice peace? When I'm chaos and I can't put two scriptures together to make a sentence, you know what I'm saying? When I'm at that place, this is what I do. I put my Bible down, I put my phone down, and then I put my head down on a pillow. And sometimes I don't sleep, I just lay there. But what am I doing? I'm practicing peace. I'm showing the Lord I'm not going to be moved by it. I'm not going to be moved by it. So what you need to do sometimes, and it doesn't always have to look like you got to lay down and take a nap, but that is a good way to learn it, amen? Sometimes maybe you just got to sit down. Maybe sometimes you just got to go for that ride. No, I don't have time. Well, maybe you just got to take the time. Amen. See, the thing is, God can't talk to you if you're in chaos. He can't talk to you if you're all. Actually, you know what's so amazing about this? To give you an example, this week as I was doing, and I was going through this process, pastor asked me to preach in his church. I don't have a message. He asked me that morning. I had no idea that I was going to get asked. And so I go to preach in his church, and I don't have clear direction on what I have to do. And so I did just that. And every single time I do, every time I do that process, I don't have a message, I lay down, take a nap. I usually close my eyes for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden, I wake up and Lord's speaking something out of my spirit. And almost always that there's the message, there's the direction I have. Always. Why? Because I practice peace. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, okay? There's plenty of areas where I need to practice peace more, amen? We all do. Praise the Lord. But we just need to follow God, amen? We need to learn how to follow Him. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you don't believe me? Amen? Faith or trust in God demands your peace. It demands it. You can't have faith without peace. You won't be in faith without peace. You start to see why people are faltering. You start to see why you falter. And I'm not I'm not pointing fingers at you and saying you're all bad people or anything. Listen, we are all learning how to come up higher, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm learning it too. Yeah. I'm walking this out too. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, to be completely honest with you, for about 2 weeks now, my life has been in utter chaos in the sense of things that have been coming at me that I can't control. Yeah. Amen? Things that are out of my control, things that are just... But what does God keep reminding me of? Peace. There's people around me, utter chaos. What does God keep reminding me of? To tell them, peace. We need to go back to peace. And so what do? I keep taking myself back to peace. I get worked up and then I go, peace. Get worked up and then go back to peace. I get busy, 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 go back to peace. You understand how it goes. Listen, we're all walking through this together. So let's walk through it together. This is how God is trying to help us. We go to peace. We need to remember this. We need to, again, not like the hippies. We're not like peace. You know, we're like, let's go to real peace. Hallelujah. Let's get godly peace. Amen. Praise the Lord, because God is trying to help us. We can't operate in faith without peace. We can't conquer life without peace. You can't be in peace if you're in chaos. And so you have to do the things that remove you. You know, I love my pastor says, you know, when you if you needed a limb removed, an arm or a leg, if you just went and ripped it off, it wouldn't work out so good, would it? That's a bad thing. Most people agree that it's a bad thing when an arm or a leg gets ripped off. Amen? If something needs to be taken off, what does a surgeon do? A surgeon goes in there and they very methodically and calculatedly go in there and they remove it surgically. Amen. They go in and they take a scalpel to it and they make light cuts and they take it off to do whatever they need to, you know, if that's the case, if it's something that's going to cause a problem. Generally, people nowadays bode well if they go through something like that. You know what I mean? Because the how it's gotten to. See, it's the same thing with our lives. Sometimes we need to surgically remove things from our lives. We need to know that not just ripping things off is going to make things better, but we need to sometimes we need to surgically remove them. Sometimes we need to look at them and say, you know what, this is continually causing me a lack of peace, so we're going to start cutting this off. Yeah. We're going to start taking this off, because this isn't a good place. If it takes your peace, it's not worth it. Yeah. If a person robs your peace, they're not worth it. Praise the Lord. That's the truth of the matter. If it's removing peace from you, it's not worth it, because that stops the only line. This is why, again, this is why people do not hear from God. It's not because he ain't speaking to them. It's because they can't hear him. They can't hear him. The devil will talk a lot. Praise the Lord. If you're in chaos and you're hearing a lot from God, it's probably not God. Unless God's like really trying to get something over to you. Amen. Because God speaks in peace. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to Philippians. We're gonna take this farther. This is a scripture I have given. Like, these are a set of scriptures. I love these scriptures. These are go-to scriptures for me. I've given them to many of you many times. Many of you. Like, listen, if you've gotten the scripture before, I'm not just talking about you, because I've given them to many of you. Amen? So I said many of you to understand that I've given these a lot. I've given these to myself a lot, because these scriptures matter. Amen? I've given it to other people too. I've even had times where I've given these scriptures to people, and people have given me kind of the attitude of like, this is what you're going to answer my problem with? But see, this is the answer to the problem. Okay, turn with me to Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Remember what we read last week? We read out of, was it Matthew 6? Out of Matthew 6, what was it, about 23, 24, 27, somewhere in there, Jesus said, do not worry about your life. What is Paul saying to the Philippians here? Be anxious for nothing. You know what he's saying? Do not worry. Don't worry. You know what the disciples were doing in the boat when it was sinking? They were worrying. What would you do if you were in a boat that was sinking? You'd probably worry. You know what I mean? But worry ain't going to do anything. Jesus told us that. He promised us that. He said, it ain't adding nothing to your stature. It ain't making you taller. Amen. It ain't going to make you swim better. Glory to God. It certainly ain't going to stop the water from coming in. But what will? Peace. Peace is the answer. Worry is not the answer. Why do we always turn to worry? I'll tell you why. Because we have an enemy that helps us. We have an enemy that's like feeding us worry. Worry, worry, worry. Worry, 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 worry. That's all you see is worry, worry, worry. Watch the news. Worry, 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 worry. That's what my wife and I were watching a show about, the difference between the 90s and now. And one of the things is how the news agencies changed from actually reporting news to going from that to being just like worry mongers. They're like just dumping stuff, and like they're giving opinions and all this stuff. What is all that to do? Worry. It's all to create worry. Praise the Lord. That's what it's for. You understand that. And so everybody that's feeding on this stuff all the time, and you're getting these news feeds all the time. I know, because I've been there. I start getting worked up. I start getting anxious. Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving, that place of praise. That's why we talk about praise. Again, it puts us in that place of peace. Because when you start talking to God, when you go to God and you say, see, when you go to God in faith, and that's what it's talking about. It's not just prayer, just praying to pray. That's not what it's talking about. Because again, James tells us praying to pray doesn't mean anything. Right. It doesn't do you any good to pray to pray. You need to have faith when you pray. And so you go to God knowing that God's going to answer you. He's going to lead you to peace. He's going to help you. And that your plan is going to work, or God's plan is going to work out in your life. You're going to be okay. This is how you go to God, yeah. Right? Be anxious for nothing. Because if it's anything other than that, you're anxious for something. Yeah. Yeah. You don't be anxious. You be anxious for nothing, then you go to God, but with everything, with prayer and supplication. You go to God with thanksgiving, and you let your request be made known, knowing that God is going to answer. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That does not mean that every single thing that you necessarily want is going to come to pass. You have to learn how to get into that will of God. You understand? There are boundaries to the word as well. Amen? Because you can't have it all kinds of ways. God ain't going to give you something that's going to harm you or hurt you. Amen? That's why people who pray for specific spouses generally aren't praying in the will of God. Why? Because you don't know if that person is going to hurt you or not. You don't need to, it's not like, Lord, give me this person. No, Lord, is this person right? That's what we need to know. Is this person right for me? Is this person going to help me? Amen? Is this person going to increase me? Hallelujah. As I want to increase them. You understand? Yeah. We need to pray right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? So this is what the promise is. You get in faith, get out of chaos. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. What's the peace of God? It's the knowledge of His Word. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. John 1:1. Praise the Lord. He was with God and He is God. Hallelujah. It all connects. The Bible connects, right? I mean, this is pretty good stuff. Amen? I mean, only God could have thought of this. Hallelujah. And that's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about that. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Your hearts and minds. Your hearts and minds. Your spirit and your mind. Praise the Lord. You remember the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. Dividing between the soul and the spirit. Hallelujah. The soul and the spirit. It divides those thoughts and makes sure it sorts them out for you. So you know that this decision just isn't in your head, but it's actually of God. And if it's of God, it's going to work out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, I love the Word. Amen. Glory to God. And so anyways, going on. Finally, brethren. This is part of the same line. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise the Lord. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice there's a God of peace again. But you know, you look back at verse 8 and you say, well, you know, you can meditate on a lot of things. You know, something may be true, but it's not praiseworthy. Something may be true, but it's not of good report. Something may be true, but it's not causing you peace. It didn't say to meditate on that, did it? It said whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. It doesn't mean you can't recognize something. I'll just give you a great example of my own life. I'm a person who is drawn towards news. I want to know the news. I want to know what's going on. And so I go watch these news, different news articles and videos and stuff like this. And I can get to the point where I've got myself so worked up by watching everything. You know, you watch the news. Most of you know what just happened yesterday down in Pittsburgh. Horrible things. Listen, I'm not saying we don't recognize it. I'm not saying that we ignore it. No, absolutely not. But if we sit around meditating how people are trying to take us all out, glory to God. It's not going to bode well for us because we don't dwell on those things. Again, I'm not saying it's not. Somebody brought it to me this morning. It's not wrong that you say, you know, did you see what happened or something? I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is if the next week all you're thinking about is what happened down in Pittsburgh, well, glory to God. You're not thinking about the power of God. You're not thinking about how God's going to deliver it all. You're not thinking about how God's going to break through what God's doing here. You know what I'm saying? So whatever the news is, you know, whether it's this or that, and we're all creatures of that tend towards, you know, if something's burning, we're going to go see it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you ain't got to know if everything's burning. Amen? But so you understand where the balance is there. I'm not calling, you know, I'm not saying, you know, like that person came to me, I'm not saying, praise the Lord, I'm not saying that they're wrong for doing that. Absolutely not. You know, it's horrible. And sometimes people want to know direction. Listen, if you want to know direction, I'll tell you what that was. All these shootings, all this stuff like this, this is nothing about politics. This is all demonic. Yeah. And this is because people don't know how to live right. And it's because the society, the devil has infiltrated this society to a point where he's trying to tear the society apart. If you haven't noticed it, he's being very effective at doing so. But we need to trust God, not concentrate on all that stuff. Again, what this is saying right now is don't meditate on the problem. Don't meditate on what your issue is. When you do that, you won't have the peace of God. If you think about how bad it is, you're not going to have the peace of God. If you're going to think about how you can't seem to get past this, you're not going to have the peace of God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Proverbs 4:23, I love this scripture. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the issues of life come out of your heart. We need to keep our heart. The Bible directs us. You keep your heart with all diligence. It means you got, you know what diligence means? It means you got to diligently watch after your heart and protect those things that are in there. How do we do that? By meditation. The scripture we just read, Philippians 4:8. We meditate on the right things. Meditate. What is meditate on there? You speak the right things. You listen to the right things. If you listen to garbage music, if you watch garbage movies or garbage TV shows, guess what you're going to get? Garbage. You are not keeping your heart with diligence. You are letting things into your heart, and that's why the issues of life, when they come to snag you, are snagging you because you're out of peace. You can't be in peace when you're constantly watching. You know, we talked about this with horror movies and stuff like that. I talked about it last night. It's a great example. My wife and I, we love movies. We love to watch movies. But we've also limited the types of movies that we watch. We say we won't allow certain things in. Amen? Sometimes you watch even a PG movie and it's stuff that shouldn't be in there. But you know, we used to love horror movies and stuff like that. We used to watch them. And I realized that after watching them, the Lord showed me over a process of time that over watching those things, they were putting a lot of fear in me, a lot of anxiety in me. And so what was constantly coming out? Fear and anxiety. I was a grown man afraid of the dark. Yeah. Amen. We just bought our house in Jamestown. We had just got in there, and somebody had told me that a lady who had lived there had died, and because I watched all these horror movies, I was sure her spirit was in there. I'm in the church, you understand. I wasn't preaching in church yet, but I was in church, and I'm the spirit of this woman is in here, and I'm afraid of seeing spooks. So I couldn't stay there very late at night because I'm afraid of what I'm going to see. You understand, this is where I was, and I realized it's by putting all that garbage in me. I'm not afraid of spooks. I'm not afraid of demons. If you are, it's because you watch too much garbage. You don't know. You got to watch the Word. See what the Word says. The Word says you have authority. You don't get afraid of something you have authority over. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What if a two-year-old walked up to you and said, I'm going to control you? You'd laugh. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe. Some people in this society, they're letting two-year-olds control them. Glory to God. But we don't do that. We don't consult our kids for the direction that they need to go in. Oh, consult your kids. Imagine that. Consult. Some people think that that's right. There may be people in here that do. God forbid. I feel sorry for you if you do. But if you consult kids, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. If you consult a kid for what you need to do, then you're following foolishness. Glory to God. See how that works out for you. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some adults never grow up, still act like kids, and people consult them. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You have friends that still act like they're 16 years old, but they're 40. Yeah. Something's off here. If you're still, we got 40, 50, 60 year olds out there partying and all excited about partying. You're acting like a 12 year old, a teenager. That's what teenagers do, and they're foolish. Yeah. And you're out there, and we're going to take advice from you. No, thank you. I'm not going to hear anything you have to say to me. Why? Because it's a bunch of garbage. Yeah. Amen. It's filtered through your stinking thinking. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We got to keep our heart. How do we keep our heart? By meditating, by hearing the right things. Listen, if we're constantly around people that are da 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 da, you're meditating on those things because you're hearing it all the time. So it's getting put into you, and you're thinking about it, and you're dwelling on it. What you need to say is either stop talking like that, or I ain't gonna be around you anymore. Yeah, you can do that. You have that right to do that. Yeah. You know, there's people that come around us, not because we demand it, but people are afraid to say certain things around us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Like there's certain jokes that won't happen around us. Yeah. Because, you know, well, they're pastors now, you know, and they're all uppity and uptight and all this. No, we guard our minds. We had a hard time one time. We were with a family member. We were watching this one TV show. It was a pretty violent, R-rated TV show. This was early on in our walk with the Lord. And we were watching it. And it was all the way up to the series finale. It was the last one they were ever going to make. We had been waiting for it. And guess what? All of a sudden, we recognized that check in our heart. Oh, it was bad. And we looked at each other. We knew we couldn't watch it. We're like, but Lord, this is a serious finale. Yeah, I don't think you understand. You know how big it, you know how important it gets, right? In your mind, you're like, this is the biggest thing ever. No, you don't understand. I have been faithful to this show for every season and for 5 years, and now you couldn't have told me, like you couldn't have waited a week and a half? I mean, is that serious finale? But what the Lord was doing is testing us. Will we listen or will we not? Well, we didn't show up. In fact, we called them and we said, listen, we can't do it. We can't, we know we can't do it. And they're like, what do you mean you can't do it? Well, we just learn our faith and we just know that it's not right. And we got to check in our spirit, which people don't really understand that at all. But they're like, we got to check against it. We just know we can't do it. We can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? Why can't you do it? Because I have a check. Because I follow peace. A lack of peace is a check. When you have peace, when you know you can do something, that's perfect peace. When that's what I love about the direction of God, is you can know you're doing something. Like my wife and I, we live our life, we know, especially our marriage, we know that it's in the will of God. And so the things we do, we know that we do in the peace of God. And it excites us. It excites you to dwell in the peace of God because you're like, I can do this knowing that I'm not just doing what's okay. I'm doing what's right. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When my wife and I spend some time together, we don't question it. We don't have to question it because we know that we're doing it according to the will and the design of God. And we know that He's excited that we're doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, I said before, if you've never been on a vacation before, you're out of the will of God. You need to learn more about this so you can find that place because God wants you to. He wants you to rest. Praise the Lord. If you're overworked, I'm just going to speak to you right now. God wants you to rest. He needs you to rest. He's saying, child, I sent my son to die for you so you could rest. You need rest. You need peace. And this is how we're going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're getting close here, but I think we're going to make it. Or be real close anyways. Colossians 3:12. Hallelujah. Next chapter, next book. Colossians 3:12. Verse 17, 3:12. I love this. Mine starts off as the character of the new man. Do you realize you're a new person in Christ? You've been born again. You're a new person, new creation. You ain't got to live that way anymore. Just look at it this way. You ain't got to live in a lack of peace anymore. You ain't got to live in chaos anymore. Why? Because I'm a new creation. Chaos ain't mine. Peace is mine. Peace belongs to me. Peace belongs to our household. Praise the Lord. I said peace belongs to our household. Said it hasn't up until now. Well, it's starting today. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Therefore, as the elect of God, we are the elect of God. We are the chosen of God. We're the elect. We're the number ones. Hallelujah. That's what we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It just makes me want to come right out of my pants. Hallelujah. I want to run right through you. I tell you, I want to run so fast that my shoe flies off me. Hallelujah. I didn't mean that in a bad way, I'm running so fast that my clothes, praise God. Hallelujah. Just leave him like Joseph. Leave my coat behind. Just going. I'm going to run. I'm the elect of God. Amen. Don't let the devil beat you down because you're the elect of God. Amen. Say, well, I'm not the elect of God. Will you come on in, get the elect of God, and then you can go on because it's easy. Amen? We'll tell you how after. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Oh, that Christians would do this more. And forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Praise the Lord. And Lord, I recognize that right now in my own life, and I forgive all of that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, the Lord deals with me too when I'm preaching. But above all these things, above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule. You have to allow it to rule. You do. You choose it. You let the peace of God rule. If you don't let the peace of God rule, then you don't have all the other access to God and what He has for you. Amen? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do, everybody say, whatever I do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you can't bless God when you're doing it, this is why I just say right now, I could not sit at a bar stool and praise the Lord while I'm doing it. Couldn't do it. Thank you, Lord, for this shot. I couldn't smoke a joint and say, Lord, thank you for this weed. Get me all, I couldn't pop pills and say, Lord, thank you for these pills. I couldn't do it. Amen. If you can't do it and praise God while you're doing it, you need to question what you're doing. Because you can't be in the peace of God if you're doing what you know that God won't let you do. I'm just saying it, the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. And listen, if you have that thing, if you have that nagging thing in your gut that's like, that thing that's in your gut that's like, people think, well, no, it's just, I tell my pastor all the time, I say, I hear your voice in my head. I'll be doing something, I hear his voice in my head, praise the Lord. If you hear my voice in your head, it is not my fault. That is not me. Listen, you came, I didn't force you to be here, hallelujah. I didn't connect you, God connected you. And so if you hear my voice, it's not me saying, I'm not sitting there looking into your life, but like if you're like inside and you're like, oh, I know it's not right, praise the Lord. And oftentimes they'll come to you through the voice of your pastor if you didn't know. But if that's there, then you need to just get over it. Praise the Lord. You need to recognize that God is trying to help you. Amen. According to his word. Praise the Lord. Whatever we do. See, if we do all things giving thanks to God and the peace of God, then we don't have to question. That's exactly what I was talking about with my wife. My wife and I, we don't feel bad when we get away. You know why? Because we work hard. We follow the direction of God. And he gives us the ability to do so. Amen? So we don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad that I drive a nicer vehicle than I did years ago. You know why? Because I worked for God, I followed the direction of God, and that's where he's brought me. I'm going to feel better. I'm just going to tell you right now, 10 years from now, I'm going to be in a much better financial position than I was today. And I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to let somebody make me feel bad. You know why? Because God will do it for every single person who follows him. Every single person. He opens it. And my goal is not to stop following God, but to follow him more. Amen. 20 years from now, I better be more consecrated than I am today. And I want to be more consecrated. You know why? Because I'm doing it unto the glory of God. And guess what? He's going to bless my socks off, and he wants to bless your socks off too. But we have to be right. We can't do it out of peace. Amen? And chaos. Praise the Lord. Whatever we do in word or deed. Okay, we're going to close with these scriptures. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3:10. Glory to God. 1 Peter 3:10. That's 2 Peter. That's 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he who would love life and see good days." Anyone want to love life? Praise the Lord. Anyone want to see good days? Okay, this is the way to do it. This is your instruction. If you said yes, you trapped yourself into it. Your neighbor saw you. Point to your neighbor and say, I saw you. Praise the Lord. So now you're going to love life. You're going to see good days. Who wants to see? We want to love life and see good days. That doesn't sound like a bad thing to me. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Okay? Evil comes in various forms through the tongue. Talking smack about somebody, that's evil. Talking trash about somebody, that's evil. Talking somebody down, that's evil. Lying, that's evil. Glory to God. Whatever you're doing, you're swearing, that's evil. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And his lips from speaking deceit, double talk. That's what that word deceit means also, is double talk. Where you tell people one thing and then you kind of go and do another. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I mean, I don't love it, but that's one of those big things. You say this and that, you want to portray this. You come to church and you wear your best and you look your best and you speak your best. But when you're out there, you're doing something else. When you're out in the world, you're acting some way. Oh, that's double talk. Hallelujah. You want good days. You said you wanted to love life and see good days. I didn't say you wanted to do it. You said you wanted to do it. Amen. So this is what we got to do. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Praise the Lord. You remember, evil is not just some big, scary, hairy demon. It's not just Charles Manson was evil, but that's not the only form of evil. You know what I mean? Doing the things that the Bible says are evil, the things that are wrong, all those things. Praise the Lord. We preach about them. I ain't gonna go down that whole list today, but you know what I'm talking about. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Look at this. Let him or her seek peace and pursue it. Listen. You are pursuing many things in life, but if ain't peace, it's wrong. Peace is all you need to pursue. Because all the things, all the blessings of God, all the things that you need, all the things, all the answers you need, all the directions of God, it's all found in peace. Seek peace and pursue it. You're seeking things. I'm not saying you have to stop doing the things you're doing. I'm saying you seek peace, and if there's peace there, then continue doing it. But if it takes you away from God, then there can't be peace there. You understand? So let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Notice this is a person who is righteous. One who turns away from evil and does good, seeks peace and pursues it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against all those who do evil. Praise the Lord. It doesn't say that those who do evil are evil, but it says evil things. Praise the Lord. If you need to know more what evil things are, if you've been in this church and you still don't know, glory to God, come talk to me. I'll explain to you what evil things are. It's not what you think it is. It's not all these things that the world, the forsaking the assembling together of brethren, that's evil. Turning away from God when you know that you should. Partnering with somebody who is not godly, praise the Lord, it's evil. These things are evil in any way, shape, or form, whether it be relationships, business, whether it be friendships. It doesn't matter. These things are evil. You know, consuming substances that no Christian should consume. Amen? Yeah. Bible says to stay sober-minded. You can't stay sober-minded. You're walking in evil, friends. Yeah. And I'm not saying this to knock you down. I'm saying this to build you up because the Bible clearly says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, but his ears are open to their prayers, the ones who are doing righteous. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So let's not walk in those things anymore. Let's walk in the direction of God. Let's seek peace and pursue it. Let's be people that are after peace. Because listen, that's the place to be, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the place where that's where we sit down. That's where the Bible says in Psalms, I love this scripture. It says that, I lay down and slept in peace and woke up safely, for the Lord was watching over me. I slept in peace. You know what? When sleeping in peace, when you're just so sure of yourself, when you're sure of what you're doing because you know that you're in the direction of God, oh my gosh, there's no better place to be. So don't shun it. Run towards it. Amen?